Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
All right, Guilty Movie Pleasure fans, we're back here in studio live from somewhere in North Hollywood. I'm not exactly sure. I dropped a pin somewhere near here, and then we showed up. I'm Josh McCoug. I'm here with a big panel today. I'm really, really excited. In honor of James Bond's release of Spectre this past weekend, we are talking Moonraker. As always, to my left, you guys know him from his upcoming film, The Funhouse Massacre, premiering in theater AMC theaters nationwide. It's Ben Begley.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Yeah!
Ben, congratulations on the movie. I can't wait to see it.
I got a legit intro. It's because I have something legit coming out.
Well, I didn't want to make fun of you because I want all the attention to go to Funhouse Massacre.
Look at this. Look what I brought today, guys. I brought a poster. I want to show it in this. There we go. This is our poster for it that's been going out to AMC theaters across the way. I'll let you hold that up for a second.
I'll fan away this.
And like Josh, I'm going to do a plug right now. Like Josh was saying, it comes out nationwide in select AMC theaters this Friday the 13th. You can go to funhousemassacremovie.com, check out all your local listings. It's in Columbus, it's in
Cincinnati.
Houston, Cincinnati, New York, in LA, City Walk will be over there. But I did want to do a challenge to the GMP audience, if
do
I
it.
Can. The first 10 people to tweet at me with a photo of you with tickets in hand to Funhouse Massacre this weekend.
I'm just going
to
do that right
you
now.
Will, I'm going to send you a poster of our movie, and if you want it signed, sure. Although I don't think I'm that cool to sign it, but if you want it, I'll sign it. And
why would you ruin a perfectly good poster?
You're right.
I will sign all of them.
This poster is way cooler than my signature, but I'm going to send out 10 posters to the first 10 fans from GMP audience that tweet at me with the hashtag Funhouse Massacre.
So get out there and buy your tickets.
Go see
Funhouse Massacre.
Friends.
We welcome back Thad Williams to the show. This is his third time on it. You're basically our, you're a recurring guest. You're the Norm MacDonald of the David Letterman show, basically. You're here.
The name's Turd Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson. And you have the Turd Ferguson mustache.
Thad
has taken part in Movember this year with me as well.
How long did that mustache take to grow?
This is 7 months in.
You got a plan starting in like March.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, Movember's coming out in 7 months.
No, this is day 10. This is day 10 of the mustache.
And he also looks like the head lead investigator of the CIA in Narcos on Netflix. Now, to my right, you guys may recognize him from all of his stints as a punk rock legend, Brendan Clardy from Southern California, the Bay Area's finest. No, Brendan Clardy, a really good friend of the show, producer, director, writer, lover of beards, and was pretty much the brains behind bringing Moonraker in. It was you two that talked about Moonraker, and they were like, let's do it.
We had to.
Brendan, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here.
Yeah.
Great to talk about Bond.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. The greatest Bond film of all time.
Easily.
Yeah.
Number 100%. One on everyone's list.
Yes. Period.
Now, going into this, I love Bond, so it really doesn't matter. I'd seen parts of Moonraker. I feel like a lot of the Roger Moore Bonds run together for me a lot of times, especially like the 70s Bonds, because it's the same theme song, the same hot girls 400 times, and the same decent acting by Roger himself. But this one I'd never seen all the way through. I love Jaws. I love the character. And I watched it for the first time this morning. This movie is friggin' incredible.
It's amazing.
All over the map.
It really is.
It is also nonstop. Like,
nonstop.
They just throw random action scenes that don't need to be in there. And then they end them very quickly. Like when Jaws attacks in the alley of Rio de Janeiro or wherever they are. And, and then the conga line comes out and just shoos him away, and you think it's going to be another fight scene. I saw it this morning for the first time, too.
So we're two newbies. You guys are vets. You're
I'd only seen the laser in space fight before.
The last time I saw this, it was playing in a bar on a loop.
Nice.
And
as
so,
it should.
As it should. It was the right ambiance for the mood.
So
the
martini mood. Time all night watching this.
Yeah.
Breaking glasses. Like...
Just every glass I picked up, I just broke.
And true Moonraker.
This movie is a lot of fun though, even though it's all over the place. Because I don't have a huge knowledge of Bond, even though I own the box set. I started like going, hey, I'm gonna mow through these when I first bought it. And I'll tell you what, the first two Bonds, Dr. No and From Russia with Love, are pretty boring.
Yeah.
I know they're classics and whatever, but they have some patches that are like a snooze fest to get through. Mm-hmm. And then Goldfinger is where it was like, ah, this is the Bond I know. I love Goldfinger. And then I've I've dabbled in like I know all the Pierce Brosnan and Forward, and then I don't think I've ever seen a Roger Moore Bond, actually.
Really?
I think about it. Oh, and my intro to Roger Moore was Moonraker, thanks to you guys.
Wow, the greatest.
Roger Moore?
Definitely haven't seen George Lazenby's, that's for sure.
You don't need to worry about that one.
That's just the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't George Lazenby just like a soccer player they found in like a bar, and they're like, you want to be Bond? He was like, sure.
Yeah. He's the only American Bond ever, right? Was he American? Is that a lie?
I think that's a
lie.
That
might be a lie.
He did look great in a suit, and I think that's the number one thing.
Yeah.
How do you look in a tux?
He looks good in a suit.
Done.
Okay, you don't have to act. Can you hold the martini?
Do you guys know that while they're contracted as Bonds, they can never wear a tuxedo?
It's true.
Is that, now, I saw that on the Schmoes podcast. Is that in movies or in life? Because it has to be just in movies, right?
It's in movies.
It's like Chris Evans can't be another superhero while he's contracted to play Captain America.
Right, unless you call Snowpiercer a superhero, then yes, you can do that.
Yeah.
Or that heroin addict he played that one time.
Correct.
Yeah.
But they can wear like the tuxedos in public appearances, but they have to be James Bond. They can't wear the tuxedo. Like, if they're going to the Oscars, they can wear the tux, but it can't be the black and white classic. It has to be some sort of flip to it. Okay. There's like rules and contracts. Yeah,
the big thing was Pierce Brosnan when he did
Thomas Crown,
he couldn't wear the bow tie. He wore a full tux, but no bow tie, so it wasn't technically a tuxedo. They get around it.
Follow up, he was the only non-British Bond. He's Australian.
Lazenby.
Lazenby, he's from Australia.
Yeah.
Shaken, not stead.
Okay, so I feel like we should do the plot in under 3 minutes.
Sure. Oh, I just retweeted it, finally. There we go.
Good job, Ben.
Success.
Ben just figured out how to use Twitter, and he's talking about it live on the show. That's really good fucking programming, Ben. Jesus Christ. Okay. Brendan, you haven't watched the show before, but we run through the plot of the movie as fast as we can in under 3 minutes.
We usually lob it over to Josh for the last 30 seconds so his brain can explode.
Sure. Okay. Let's do it. All right. We're going to start with Brendan, and we're going to start in 10 seconds. 9, 8... Seven, get
the only thing
ready.
Better than
Six,
me talking about Twitter is five, a very long countdown.
Four, three, two, one.
Brendan. All right, so we open up and there is a space shuttle on top of a 747, not 747, they explain that. and two guys in matching awesome leather jackets.
And a unibrow.
That are great. Yeah. They steal this Moonraker shuttle and take off. That's the very beginning. And then we get credits. Bond is on a plane with a stewardess, not a flight attendant.
Yes,
and he is going to be let go for the plane to crash. He gets pushed out of the plane without a parachute.
Great sequence.
Yeah,
fantastic. Jaws. We also see for the first time there. He is jumping out of the plane as well with a parachute. Everyone else has a parachute except Bond. Crazy skydiving scene. Bond somehow comes out alive, ends up...
We're almost at the credits.
<Come on. laughs> There's a lot to do.
And that only took 1 minute.
And then he ends up in M's office finding out he's got to figure out where Moonraker is. He's sent to California.
He's sent to California where there's like all this obligatory investigative work he does, and he meets this super hot woman named Dr. Goodhead, because that is not overt at all. Just like, you know, a lot of pussy or whatever, pussy galore. A lot of pussy. Same difference. But it's, anyway, he meets Dr. Goodhead, and the nefarious, what's the bad guy's name in this?
Drax.
That's right. And either Bond is
also
just
the bad guy in Phantom, Xander Drax.
There you go. So Drax and then his kung fu sidekick, and
whose name is actually Chang.
Yeah,
Chang. Because it's Bond. So and then there's a fight sequence there, and I can't remember now. There's so much shit that happened.
Lots of fights. There's lots of fights, and then he travels to Venice, and he has a crazy fight in a glass factory, and then he travels to a gondola, turns into a hovercraft, and then he goes to Rio.
He gets in trouble when they say you're off the case and you gotta go.
They kick him off the case.
You know,
they give him 2 weeks
to Rio.
Two weeks in Rio, and then he finds Drax. And Drax has a secret lair. There's a gondola fight.
Cable
They slide down a gondola, and then he meets Drax in his lair, and they smuggle themselves up to Moonraker, which is a spaceship.
Space shuttle. Now they're on the space station. Okay, so here's what happens. So they're on the space station, which, crazy enough, nobody notices that it's Bond and Goodhead. They don't have costumes on or anything. They're just wandering around, and Drax is up there, and he starts telling this story about how, like, he's going to be change the whole human race, and he's going to send all these things. Now Bond has to stop those balls from going. He has to stop Moonraker. They finally figure out that the U.S. is like, this thing's up there. They send up their space shuttle because you can do that laser fight in the air. Bond saves the day. Drax gets thrown out of his thing. Jaws lives. They get back down.
Houston, it's a problem.
We still managed to do that, even though Brendan wasted a minute of time opening gambit.
Hey, that was the best part of the movie. Let's talk about this.
As soon as it got lobbed to me, I was like, "What happened in this movie?"
We have to talk about him on the plane at the beginning because with every movie, you want to know where your character starts and where your character ends.
Yeah. Sure.
Bond starts on a plane with a stewardess.
Ends on a shuttle.
Trying to hook up. Yeah. With a ends up in space hooking up.
Yeah, with a great line from Moneypenny to start it off. Like, where's Bond? He's on the last leg of his journey.
Yeah,
cut to Roger Moore putting his hand up a woman's
Which,
leg.
Which, by the way, can we talk about how amazing kissing in old school Hollywood movies were, where they just smush their faces together and go... And it's just like...
There was one... The first time
it's
he kisses...
It's so weirdly not romantic or sexy in any way. Yeah. It looks like old community theater kissing. Like, you went and saw Fiddler on the Roof, and when they kiss for the first time, you're like,
Is there kissing in Fiddler on the Roof?
I think the daughter and son that are in love, right? Motel and Hava?
From different families.
Motel and Hava? Yeah, from different families. The
clarification.
Yeah.
The first Bond show that would go into Fiddler on the Roof on the internet.
It's the only community theater production I did that I can remember.
Good call, Ben.
The first time Bond kisses the helicopter pilot, her eyes are like wide open.
Yeah.
Like, I do not want this. And she shouldn't want it because she ends up dead.
Yeah, that's
she gets mauled by dogs.
That happens in
plot
like,
point we forgot.
That happens.
Forgot the mauled by
she
dog
gets
scene.
Mauled by two dogs. In my fiance Bond walked movie. Back in the room as I was watching that this morning. She goes, "Did that girl just die?"
That's what happens when you ride in a helicopter with Bond.
That's the longest dog chase ever. Those dogs are moving, and she's like,
she's running through a wedding dress on. There's like a light shining through the forest.
Did you see those dogs eat in fast motion? They eat quick.
Yeah, they're
lots of fast motion shots in this movie.
It's very Bond meets Benny Hill. It's a lot of that.
I'm going to bring up, this may sound a little bit of just like a plot hole for me, but did anybody... In those situations when there's a ninja or like just a martial artist that hangs around the villain, he's always there and it always seems like he's out of place costume wise.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is wearing like a suit or Xander Drax or whatever the guy's name is, Drax, Dr. Drax. He wears that like Kim Jong Il kind of outfit.
The semi gi.
Formal gi.
The formal gi. if anybody else knows the formal term for the gi, and then the ninja guy, he is a ninja. Like James Bond, you know, this guy's going to be the one to come after me. Now the best part is they get to Venice, and that guy shows up, obviously
with a full on feudal like fencing gear out.
He's ready to go.
Wooden staff.
Except a wooden staff.
The best is that setting up that scene is they're taking a tour through this glass factory and they're going like, this is from the ancient and this is the most rare glass, and they're just crash!
and this is all owned by his boss. I can only imagine if he had lived, which he didn't, if he had lived and gone back to boss like, sorry, that was like a $70 million vase.
Bond picks up the million dollar vase. He's like, oh, I'm going to put that one down.
And then crash!
And not only did they break all of the rare glass, but they broke all the glass cabinets that the glass...
And neither of them have a single cut on their body. They just walk up. Not even like a shaving nick, you know? Like,
and then after the fight, Bond pulls the poison vial out of his...
Glass vial.
Which is also made of glass, and is like, oh, good, that didn't get damaged. I'm just going to put this back in my pocket.
Yes.
That is a huge plot hole for me in every Bond movie pretty much ever made until, I guess, more recently. What you were saying is that Bond is either... I think it's that he's just... so cocky and knows his stuff so much that he has to know that Drax is the evil villain immediately, and that Chang, the overtly racist sidekick, is obviously gonna fight him in the muscle later. He's not dumb, and I think that that's part of, like, at the time they loved playing those like when they go and he goes hunting and he shoots the sniper guy,
and then
he just walks off, and I'm like, why doesn't Drax just shoot him then? He'd just be like, well, the sniper didn't get him. I now have the gun that's loaded. Bam! Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just that the
movie over.
Both sides are too egomaniacal to ever win the earlier on in the plot.
Ace ball corner pocket. I think also too is like there's always those moments in these movies where the bad guy has the gun and should just shoot him, but he needs his one-liner in there. Oh, yeah. And we get it at the end. We won't get to it yet. But this guy, his delivery is the perfect like 1940s British TV announcer. Just like, you can't come here. Later this evening, we shall take over the world.
From the minute you meet me, you know that I'm an evil pseudo-Nazi.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't get the Nazi thing until way later.
Yeah, way
that
later.
That was a twist. That's a twist.
It's a good turn.
That comes out of nowhere, right? Nowhere. Because I'm the whole movie, I'm like, what the hell is this guy's...
He's just recruiting hot people.
Yeah, super hot women.
Yeah, and then they throw in the pit switch, and it's like, oh, those are all white. This is the master race.
Yeah. Well, no, if you notice, when they come in on the helicopter into Drax's compound, which is the funniest, stupidest line, is like, why didn't he bother the Eiffel Tower? And she's like, he did. The French embassy wouldn't let him out with the customs or whatever.
He owns the Eiffel Tower.
Because the Eiffel Tower's for sale.
He just went in and bought it.
It wasn't all white people. There were some black girls.
That's what I was going to say.
There were a couple.
But mainly what?
Predominantly white.
Drax's master race.
For his master race.
And I noticed that no women wear bras in Bond movies.
No.
Nip Central. #NipCentral.
First of all, I thought this movie was in like the late 60s. This is 1979.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He is extremely sexual assaulty.
Yeah.
Borderline. I mean, there's obviously the woman line, which I think we should probably do now.
Yeah, the full version.
Play the full version and we're going to get...
Yes, my name is Bond. James Bond. I'm looking for Dr. Goodhead.
You just found her.
A woman.
it's Mad Men, but Mad Men takes place in the mid-60s. This is 79.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
A woman doctor. What, does she vote as well?
Shouldn't you be in the kitchen?
And just as long as we're playing at home, the book... Her name was not Dr. Goodhead.
Okay.
Her last name was Brand or Bland,
like, here's the thing,
or something.
Is that something that happened specifically with the movies where they made these like almost porny names? Bond always, the older Bond specifically, have always been just one step away from being porn.
Yeah.
Like if they just...
There was a lot of boobs in Octopussy, right? Wasn't there a lot of boobs in
there? Is there?
Just that phrase you just uttered. Just made
a lot of boobs. Like a lot of boobs in there. But they're all PG, so aren't they all like insinuated?
Right. Yeah, I think it's all insinuated. It's a lot of winks.
I think you see nipples in Octopussy.
I'm watching it today.
Yeah, go home. You have all 500 of them on DVD.
No, but it's always one step away from being spy porn.
Let me ask you a personal question, and tell me if I'm like overstepping my boundaries here.
Well, I won't.
Do you get really upset that you bought the collector's edition and then they come out with another movie and now your collection is incomplete?
No, because I have to know that they're going to come out with more movies, but I am a completist, so then I buy... I own sets of movies that I should not own. Like, I own a four-pack of all the From Dusk Till Dawn movies, even though the first one is the only good one. In my defense...
Ben Begley, everybody.
In my defense, it was like $5. So yeah. I was like, well, I'll get the other three. Yeah. I have the entire Prophecy film collection, even though the first two are the only good ones.
Got nothing.
I own all the Halloween movies, even the remakes, and I can't stand the remakes at all. But
congratulations, Ben.
I'm a completist.
You
AKA
basically, if you were Drax, you would have taken all of the box sets up into space and let the other ones wither away.
The other ones wither, so I can have my complete.
Yeah, there was also a weird poison flower involved, and I loved the scene where they're explaining it, and Bond just keeps interrupting Q. He's like, "Oh yeah, I know what this flower is all about. I've experienced
the rarest of all orchids."
Oh yeah. Yes.
He's such a dick. Roger Moore is a dick.
Oh, yeah.
He's a dick.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. Like, any girl that sleeps with Bond inevitably gets killed off.
Yep.
The first one he bangs always gets killed off.
Yep.
Yeah, or herpes.
And that's herpes then killed.
Yeah.
But never death by herpes yet. That hasn't happened yet. No, but it's so funny to me. I remember watching, which one is it where he sleeps with the main bad girl and then arrests her and slaps her in the face when she's going into the cop car? I think it's Dr. No. I think it's the first one.
I think
one.
That's an episode of Cops you
watched. It was. No, but he like slaps her after sleeping with her. I'm like, man, Bond, good lord.
Yeah.
But there are like, when he, there's just these moments of pure sexual harassment.
Oh yeah.
And Roger Moore, like, okay, he's smooth, he's suave, he's James Bond, but he's a scumbag.
Yeah, like, Bond's a scumbag.
He's kind of a scum.
Yeah, I feel like especially in this one, he's not trying that hard to be smooth. He's kind of over it. It's like his fifth movie or something, and
he's like, hey,
I need these plans. You know where they are? Let's make out. And she's like, no. And he's like, no. Let's make out. And he gets the plans, and you're like, what? This is the worst convincing ever.
We do have a convincing argument though. That sound clip.
Yes.
Which one was it? Which one is it? I can't see it from here. Smooth Bond, that's what it's called.
Oh, that's what I'd like to talk to you about. Dinner this evening?
This evening I'm giving my address.
But then can you think of a reason why we don't have a drink afterwards?
Not immediately. But I'm sure I shall.
Boom. Now here's what, Bond. I think the writing there, you missed it, because he said, she's like, I'm giving my address, and then he could have gone, why don't you give me your address? Or something like that. No?
Missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity.
for rapey Bond.
All right. Yeah. Brendan, your favorite, like, cheese ball movement, moment in the movie.
Oh, my God. There's so
many. Give me a top three.
I mean, one of them is that horrible jump when Jaws jumps from one gun. And then he lands on the other one. It's like
we're clearly in that take of him. He just went like this. He didn't even, his feet didn't even leave the ground.
Not even close.
It was, like, the worst thing ever. And I don't know how anyone was like, what? Oh, yeah, that'll work.
Like this. Yeah, just keep going. Just keep going.
It's a broad jump. It's a standing broad jump.
That's pretty high up.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I love
it. You said to me via text this morning, which is one of the funnier texts I've received in the last couple of days, was, oh, you mean Space Hitler? Yeah. Basically, this movie is Space Hitler.
Hitler.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
And Moonraker is a great name for a ship, a movie, anything like that.
Yeah.
I will say for me, the point when I kind of, I was, the last 40 minutes of this movie are one giant plot hole that is never explained, but you don't really care because it's like, well, it's Bond. Had this been another movie, this would be up there in the annals of, like, I can't believe they made this kind of movie, right? Mm-hmm. Because...
Well, I still can't believe they made this movie.
Yeah.
Though it was the most successful Bond movie up until GoldenEye. Box office-wise.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a $30 million budget, made $65 million.
They put it into production immediately after Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because they weren't planning... The one that they did after this was...
It feels Star Wars-y.
The one after this was... Spy Who Loved Me, I think?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, and that was supposed to be the next one they made, and then Star Wars was a hit, and Albert Broccoli was like, we're going to do a space movie! Yep.
Right.
And then they just threw it into production. Apparently, I was reading, like, they reused a lot of the same fight sequences from the previous couple movies that Roger Moore did.
Judo Chop!
Yeah. And like,
Roger Moore's like, let's do another one, but I'm not learning new fights.
I'm just going to go like this, and then you're going to go down.
Give me new suits and more martinis, but no new fights.
So many, he does so many, wah! And you're just like,
and so many just super telegraphed. Hey!
Yeah. This is the movie where you watch, like, the Austin Powers series, and you're that's not even a spoof.
No,
that's just you doing the same movie.
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
We called two things a gondola when we were... Which one's the gondola?
They're both gondolas.
They're two different forms of a gondola.
Well,
it's a homonym.
My favorite cheesy moment was this...
Isn't a homonym the same word that just
synonym?
Means different things?
No, I think they have
I think
to
a homonym is in the Bible.
I think they have to be spelled different. That's a homily.
No. I know, that's a deal.
Yeah.
It's attempting to make a biblical pun.
Nice work,
so, the gondola scene,
hold on,
the first
hold on,
one.
Hold on.
Okay.
Ben made a biblical pun. Let's hear it for him.
Thanks right. for that.
Moving on.
Well, now how do I follow that? The gondola chase sequence.
Yes.
The first one.
The boat gondola.
When the boat gondola turns out to be a super speed speedster thing, and the speedboat can't
even
get to it.
They did not even attempt to set that up.
No,
that
just there's came two out, boat
that just came,
in this movie.
That just came out of nowhere. Because my first thought was, he's just got a leisurely gondola ride now. Like, why am I doing this?
Oh, no. Yep.
I got the day in Venice. And
dude
then,
in a coffin with knives comes out.
Yeah.
Best guy ever.
Yeah.
For 2 seconds.
Dude,
and then he gets killed right off.
The most intense, knife wielding.
He looks even
machine.
Pale like a vampire on this when he comes out of there.
Yeah, it's
like
great.
They left him in there a little too long. He's like, guys, It's like, am I gonna kill him yet?
It's like that moment in Big Trouble Little China when he catches the knife and throws it back at the guy.
So good. But then it escalates to where, out of nowhere, it becomes a hovercraft.
Yeah.
And then I love this always in the Bond movies or any action movie. We've talked about this before, where the bad guys or good guys are like, we can't catch him now. And it's like, no, you can. There's a hovercraft gondola going through the streets of Venice. It is the most conspicuous vehicle in the city right now.
And
a little extra effort.
In that scene, they start playing like a ramped up version of like an Italian organ grinder, and everybody's like, oh, yeah. Mamma mia, it's a thing.
There's a bird that does a double take. They take a bird and make it go. And it's clearly the same shot, just backed up. And then the guy, there's all these like goofy moments like pouring wine on a waiter, the waiter pouring wine on the customer while the thing's going by.
Yeah. The guy checking the bottle of wine, like, oh, what's in this?
I've been drinking too much.
I like that there's this boat chase, and then the second boat chase in the Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Which
let's get the greatest boat ever for 5 minutes and then it off a waterfall.
That's the moment when Q's I will give it to you if you can take care of it. And Bond's like,
yeah, I'm going to destroy it.
Did you build it
with a hang glide escape hatch? Because then I'm going to use that.
Don't build it with something that you don't want me to use and destroy the boat.
And
in
then
the process
he just
with.
He not only does he escape on the hang gliding, but he just like hang glides into a shit ton of trees. He's like, here I go, fuck you, Amazon.
I'm going to destroy the hang glider too. Yeah. Not just the boat, every piece of the boat.
And then he takes his helmet off and just goes. And throws
James
it in the woods.
Is the most wasteful
then,
human being
then
on
he
the planet.
He calls Q and he's like, da da da. Hey Q, yeah, I fucked everything up. See ya
later.
So then he throws the bone.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
now
God.
The end of the movie. Obviously the churners up top are going. Okay. In the last 20 years, we've launched like two shuttles, and every time they go to launch it, they're like, weather's bad, can't launch it. They see one blip on a radar, and they're like, we've sent 40 astronauts in a shuttle to laser fight this
They open the cargo door, and there's a whole laser army.
It's great.
And the U.S. is just like, oh, don't worry, guys, we'll take care of this.
Oh, you didn't know we had laser astronauts?
We have laser knots.
Yeah, they don't know it's a threat yet. They're just like, oh, it's a blip. Let's go figure it out. Yeah. And I love the Russian general that they have a conversation with on the phone, and he's like,
I will blame you.
Always
before
problems.
Then, I'm gonna bang this blonde.
He's like, oh, I'm not asleep. I have always problems.
And that's a call.
So
that's a problem. And that's a callback to he was in the previous movie, I think, or a couple movies back.
Got it. Now, also, too, whilst in there is. There's not many people on this space station. If you count, I'm not even counting, but probably 50 to 60, right?
I'd say a
so
couple
there's
hundred.
Not like
yeah,
a,
I think there's a few hundred.
Okay.
A few hundred.
Yeah. So when he's making his
you're wrong.
End of the... he's making his end of the world statement. He's making his end of the world statement, and he doesn't notice Bond and the Doctor in the crowd. Like
nobody,
they're just standing there, like
that's a Bond.
They're all wearing they're all wearing the yellow suit, so
that's,
no one cares.
That's always been a Bond pothole for me because plot hole, not pothole. But it's that James Bond is a spy, and spies by nature are secretive, and
he's the most overt spy
on the planet, where he introduces himself as Bond, James Bond, to every bad guy. He's never really undercover. He never wears a mask, and I get that's the mystique of the whole entire series, but it's hilarious to me because I'm like, why doesn't no one has killed him yet? He walks out in public everywhere.
Yeah. And he's always in a tuxedo, so,
It's just so easy to spot.
Yeah, exactly. And the one person that they're looking for to not be on the space station is Bond.
And
he's
sure
there. He's like walking by people, and they're like, oh.
I'm sure they sent out like a 70s version of an email with his photo, like, hey guys,
I think that's called a fax.
A fax. That's right.
That was called a fax.
A fax.
A telefax.
But it's also like, if you're a drag, you got bazillions of dollars. You're on this.
Because you bought the Eiffel Tower.
You're on this space station with radar jamming devices. You've made your own gravity on this space station.
Yeah.
You've got all your own guys, and you've got Jaws. I don't think you're worried about Bond. I think you're like,
but
we'll take care of it.
He's like, I put you in every Bond villain thing. It's like, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing, and then I'm going to put you in this room where you're going to die, and then I'm going to leave the room before you die and assume that you died.
Proof of kill.
And
that's
then,
all I got to do.
Yeah, there's never a proof of death.
No.
Just there's never proof
Bond
of death.
Bond is alive? Surely you jest. Fuck.
I should have watched him die, damn it.
That was the Flash Gordon voice for a second.
Flash Gordon's alive? Should he, Jess?
My bad on that one.
Were we going to do a round of a woman? Is that what
you're doing? Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. I would like to go back to that, to the woman. That we'll go the full quote, and then we're going to cut into something here.
Yes, my name is Bond. James Bond.
Yes, hello.
I'm looking for Dr. Goodhead.
You just found her.
A woman.
Okay, first of all, it's like, hello, my name is James Bond, James Bond. I fuck women. Yeah. You are attractive. I'm looking for a man who knows how to do doctor things. Fuck you. Oh, you're a woman.
I was told it was a NASA scientist, not some minx.
A woman.
Funny enough, though, I auditioned for Mad Men back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And you were really nervous about
it. I know, I was really nervous. Yeah. And I went into the cast, and I was getting so much into character. They would give me a thing, and I was just so confused. I walked into the casting director, and the casting director was a woman. And I was like, hi, I'm looking for Mrs. Goodhead. Mm-hmm. And then I fucked that up.
It's okay, keep going with it. You were looking for a...
I'm looking for a Goodhead, and then she's like, yes, I'm Goodhead. And I was like, oh...
A woman.
It's interesting because I actually, they haven't officially aired this yet, but Trump and Hillary Clinton had a debate.
Ah.
And it's going to air sometime later this week, but I remember when I saw a leaked video of it, and when Trump was first introduced to Hillary Clinton, he was like, hi, Mr. Clinton. And she goes, no, actually, I'm Mrs. Clinton. And then he goes,
a woman.
Man, that was pretty good. That might be your best you've ever
had. I mean, the bar is really low for me.
I set it extremely low.
100%.
You were telling me a story. It was like 1994, 95. You were like coming into your own. And you can take the story from here.
What Josh means is he can throw you under the bus right here.
Yeah, yeah. That was like me at the beginning of the show when I was taking up a minute telling the whole plot line. Good work.
Getting you back. That's vengeance.
I was going to say Thad was introducing us. He was telling us all that, you know, he's getting married in January. It's going to be great. He came in with this mustache. We're like, oh, that's so great. Where are you getting married? He's like, L.A. It's going to be great. We got great wine, great appetizers. It's going to be awesome. We're like, oh, who are you getting married to? He said, Amanda. And we said,
a woman.
Oh.
Brandy.
All right. That was pretty good.
Well, sorry, Amanda.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because I remember when we first met, we were roommates that our college assigned us, and we went. I walked into the room for the first time, and I'm introducing myself to all of my other roommates, and then your back was kind of towards me, and they're like, oh, that's the last woman, that's the last person that you're that's one of the roommates. I fucked that up. I totally fucked that
you
up.
You macuga that.
I moonrakered that. I moonrakered that.
So it's gonna be great.
Yeah. That's the last
keep
person
going,
that you're
Trump.
It's the last person that you're gonna be rooming with. And I looked at the physique from back there, and there's like a little crop top going on.
Ooh,
and tight
dainty
shorts
hips.
And I looked and I asked him, I was like, are we rooming with
a woman?
He said no. And then he turned around and the beard was down to here.
Yeah.
Actually, I took my parents to the block party in Santa Monica on Halloween. And they wanted to get photos with all kinds of people dressed up as, like, Ursula and things like that. And my dad got a photo with Jessica Rabbit, who was clearly a man.
Yeah.
But afterwards, my dad was like, wow, that was a very attractive...
A woman.
Sort of. My dad doesn't speak good grammar, right? Apparently. That was a very attractive... A woman.
Weirdly enough, I don't know if you guys know this, but... The band from Southern California, they call themselves No Doubt. Their first big hit was called I'm Just a Girl, mm-hmm. but their original track was I'm a...
A woman.
There you go.
Yeah.
It went from here to about...
Just,
this is... actually, Josh, back in your days of, like, corralling around.
My days of yore?
Days of yore, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you would just go up to bars usually, and if the bartender was kind of cute, she'd be like, hey, what are you looking for tonight? And you'd look at the taps and go, I don't know, I'm thinking of a beer or maybe.
A woman.
And immediately, yeah. Boom.
Good. Let's end on that one. Well done. That was good.
Let's end on Josh.
Yeah.
Josh.
It was not my best round of improv Jeopardy quote,
no,
Bill.
No.
What else? Let's go into some quotes. What else? Do you guys have anything else you want to hit on in the movie that we didn't get to?
Well, there's a couple good Drax quotes in there. Let's bring that up. There's I can't see it from here.
Put me out of my put you out of my misery. Or something.
At least I shall have the pleasure of putting you out of my misery.
Wasn't that in something else we talked about?
No, here? But it sounds really similar to the Demolition Man quote when Stallone goes, "You're going to regret this
for the rest of your life." You're going to regret this for the rest of your life. Both seconds of it.
It's a total flip. Like his misery. So he's saying he's a miserable person. So he's like not very happy.
Putting his. Bond being alive is making him miserable.
Gotcha.
Like he kind of enjoys Bond being alive.
Yeah. Well, the next and the one after that is the same kind of thing.
Amusing Death X. X.
Mr. Bond, you defy all my attempts to plan an amusing death for you.
He doesn't. He could be miserable. We never see Drax happy.
No. He has never smiled once.
He smiles less than Jim Gordon on Gotham.
We all were talking earlier that, weirdly enough, this Peter Dinklage was up for this role.
Yeah.
And it's just a shame he didn't get it because he would have been great.
Yes. He would have been maybe 3 years old at the time.
Yeah. But they do.
He doesn't age. He's perfect.
Drax is a wonderful combination of Peter Dinklage and David Brent from The Office.
Very true.
Yeah.
I thought it was evil Kevin Smith at the beginning, simply based on the beard. And then I looked at Kevin Smith's face is too nice. This guy is a hard looker.
He's evil.
I love his.
But if you put him in a formal gi, Kevin Smith,
maybe. It could happen.
Maybe not a hockey jersey. Put him in a formal gi.
Yeah.
Get a chateau around him.
I love his Chang's scream when he jumps and attacks Bond.
First is that off, in the glass factory?
First off, the glass factory, it's just nonstop Chang screaming.
Yeah.
Bond makes no noises. Chang is just screaming nonstop.
Most of the fight scenes are oddly silent in this movie.
Yeah, and Jaws is... I don't know if he doesn't make a sound in the other ones, but at least...
Because you need to hear the sound of... Fuck.
I expect him to at least growl or something, and every time it's like... And there's nothing, and I'm like, what? But can we play the scream, Chang scream? Because it's my favorite. It's so good.
Could you play that again, Jonathan? Could you play that one more time? Hold on. Oh. Okay, got it.
There, you got it? Okay, shoot. I know your allergies act up. Yes!
I just walk in to, like, restaurants or, like, a Starbucks or something, and if they get my shit wrong, I just fucking judo chop and go...
I was at Universal Horror Nights this weekend, and I went through the Michael Myers maze, and the first guy, he shows up in a window, and I'm like, huh, scary, and then he opens the window and slashes at me, and I judo chop back. I got kicked out of the park, though. First maze.
I just saw a spider in my house yesterday. It was just like,
there.
Yeah, I mean, typically, morning after when we go out drinking and I've been on my phone all night, I look the next morning to see who I text, and I'm like...
For a long time, the blinds in my new apartment weren't working, and I forgot that they were open. And I came out of the shower, and I dropped my towel, and I looked, and I saw my 60-year-old neighbor across the way smoking on their porch, and I just went...
I believe that I hadn't seen Brendan in over a year, and the first time I saw him, he had this amazing beard, and I looked and went...
I love the weird sound at the end, which is Bond being chopped.
Yeah.
Because out of context, it just sounds like... He screams and just fall, like this epic, like, I'm gonna kill you.
Play it again. It almost sounds like he says poop.
That's if you don't have enough fiber. Yeah, the time when you didn't have enough fiber in your diet.
Yeah,
and then you'd just be on the toilet going.
The other thing with this clip is it does no justice to the amount of glass being broken.
No. There's barely any glass. It just went going on and this on. Is
like,
and
I will
on.
Say that, like, as they're in that fighting room, like, not that, not that they, not the glass sword, come on, you killed everything.
I wish there would have been, like, a guard there watching it going like, that would have been hilarious. Because it would fit the tone of this goofy
it
movie.
It probably would have.
No, like a janitor comes in and he's like, whoa,
what? No. Not again.
I could have dealt without the bird double take and have a janitor react that way. It would have been a hilarious
like he
reaction.
Just cleans the glass case and then walks out and walks back in and is like,
We haven't talked about the Jaws love story that comes out of left field. And then
saying out of left field is implying that there's anything happening in the field itself.
Yeah,
everything is out of left field.
The whole movie is in left field.
Yeah,
it just exists there. But that and then in the end when Drax is saying about
the girl's hot.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. When
great boobs too.
She was super hot. But they nerd her up with pigtails and glasses.
Yeah.
We're not gonna be able to tell.
she's all that her.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And Jaws and her fall in love because you know she's into grills, and then he realizes that Drax is going to kill anybody in the thing that he doesn't deem worthy and, good looking enough. And Jaws, obviously knowing that he's hideous, looks to his hideous girl and they're not going to choose us? That's it. Jaws is flipping teams.
Yeah.
Bend bar, find another bar to bend. Everywhere he went, he found a bar to bend or bend.
Or something bite through, yeah.
He bit through the thing. And then,
bit through that cable really easily.
Which, that scene, why didn't he just bite through all the cables and then Bond plummets to his death instead of biting a cable that I don't know what that cable did?
That was more of a safety cable.
And then he gets up there and then they have the
He didn't want to screw up the whole gondola for everybody else.
True.
Jaws has some consideration for others.
Because then Drax would have to buy the gondola.
And the gondola fight sequence is hilarious.
Well, the gondola fight sequence also, too, is that's where he meets Pigtails.
Oh, yeah.
And she saves him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She pulls that giant metal wheel that he can't move off of him, sponsored by 7-Up.
Yeah, did you notice? Thank you. Did you notice that gondola scene was sponsored by 7-Up?
Oh, yeah.
The
only thing that survived was the 7-Up logo. There's that sequence of, let's get all of the advertising in. Marlboro.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah,
get all
driving the ambulance up the hill, and every billboard is one of the sponsors. It's like, Psycho. 7-Up Bill. The watch that he uses at the end. Marlboro cigarettes.
Let's demolish the whole thing, the whole piece, and just have Jaws with the ring over him. But the 7-Up thing next to it, fine.
It's so ridiculous. Jaws is like Wile E. Coyote, and Bond is like the Roadrunner, where he's just always after him. And he always should be dead, and then survives.
How about the fact that Bond is really well dressed pretty much the whole movie, and then he came on the set and he was like, listen, I feel like they should dress me like a gaucho. What do you guys think? And they're like, whatever, Roger. Yeah. Just go in costume and kid it.
And it's one of the many, many list of cuts that go from crazy action, like that gondola chase scene, driving through St. Mark's Square, no one can catch me, and then he's incognito, the next cut.
Mm-hmm.
This one, he falls out of an ambulance in fast motion.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh, well, I guess I'll walk up and save the day. Cut to him as a gaucho.
What? He looks like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Him to say something like
And they play the Magnificent Seven theme song where did the horse go? I was like, did the movie skip? Did I fall asleep for 20 minutes?
I thought the same thing. I was like, what?
I genuinely thought I fell asleep for a few minutes and missed the sequence.
I bet they showed up and Roger Moore was like, we're going gaucho.
Yeah.
I know you guys got a whole other day planned.
Sorry, guys.
Listen, guys, I was in a magazine yesterday. It was a recent issue of Vanity Fair, and they said the gaucho was back. So I'm getting it.
We're going gaucho.
Hashtag going gaucho.
What else?
We got a couple other clips in here that are pretty solid.
Well, after the fight, after the screaming fight in the glass factory, he pushes Chang through a glass clock tower.
Through a clock tower, yeah.
And they land in the middle of a performance that's happening on the street, like an orchestra.
In the piano.
And he lands inside the piano. So naturally, Bond has to then look down and then look right at the camera and say,
play him off, Sam.
Yeah.
Play it again, Sam.
Yeah.
Play it again, Sam.
Yeah. Because nothing like a 30-year-old reference at that point.
No.
End that scene.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Roger Moore was originally supposed to play the role of Tony Danza in Who's the Boss? And the original pilot, they're in there, and Samantha, taking piano lessons, and they were at a concert, a recital, and she played so well, and they had this father-daughter moment, and then he turns to her and says,
play it again, Sam.
But he likes to take long pauses. He's really a big fan of the long pause.
He went to the Shatner School of Acting.
Yeah. That's actually how they convinced Sam Mendes to come back for Spectre. The producers went up to him and they said,
play it again, Sam.
Of course, they have a stack of about $7
million.
In cash.
In a truck.
In a suitcase.
They just backed.
I don't know if you guys know this, but It's kind of a personal story.
Okay, get real with us. Get real. The audience wants to know the real you.
Houston Rockets legend Sam.
What was that?
Houston Rockets legends. Houston Rockets.
Houston.
I'm sorry, I've never heard of this city.
Houston. How do you spell Houston?
Do you mean Houston?
Houston. Houston Rockets.
Houston Rockets legend Sam Cassell and I were really good friends for a long time. We were buddies. He's one of the ugliest men you'll ever see in your life. But he was
nice
a great.
To say about your friend.
I know, but yeah. He was a great basketball player. He used to come in to a bar I worked at all the time, and I played piano. But also, Sam played a lot of piano as well. And on road games, when they'd be playing the Lakers, or whatever, Sam would come in with some of the Rockets guys, and he would always play a lot of Billy Joel, and he would always close out the night with a song, and you just couldn't let him go. You had to go right back at him and say.
Play it again, Sam.
Yeah, actually, talking about the gaucho scene, I know Roger Moore reached out to Sam Elliott, who's played a lot of cowboys, great mustache. Mm-hmm. Sam said, you know, I don't think that this is right for me. I've never done gaucho. I do Western, typically, mm-hmm. and pork commercials. and he said, don't worry about it. It's just like being a cowboy. Show up and you can...
Play it again, Sam.
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
I remember there was a time in the filming of Avatar, and where the Avatar guy was like the CGI wasn't working or whatever, and James Cameron had to go over to the actors and said they had to put the whole suit on themselves. They actually had one suit saved that wasn't the capture thing. It was actually like 17 feet tall, and they had to play the basketball.
So like the
scene.
Opera singer in Fifth Element.
Yeah, they had to actually wear it, and none of them wanted to do it. And James just kind of looked over at the main cast and Sam Worthington and Jamie Lee Curtis and those people, and they're like, the basketball court's over there, and if you don't
play it again, Sam,
then you're fucking fired.
Was Jamie Lee Curtis in Avatar?
Yeah.
No, Sigourney
Weaver.
She was just hanging out. Yeah. Roger Moore was there, too. They were all gauchos. Don't ask
gauchos looking for adamantium.
Great-looking gauchos.
Everyone was looking for adamantium.
Someone's face got melted by
Avatar,
a laser gun, too.
Avatar, great movie. I've seen it thousands of times. Has anyone tried to watch Avatar on HBO when you're not in 3D and it's not
on drugs?
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I've never seen it outside of the theater.
No offense to James Cameron. I look forward to paying to go see Avatar 2 and 3 and probably paying to go see the Avatar land that they build in Orlando. But Avatar's really not good.
I've only seen it in theaters. That's it.
Yeah.
What else do we... Wait. What else do we have?
We got
a couple more. Play something else.
Play the last one, or play like re-entry.
Can we set this up?
Oh, wait,
my God, what's Bond doing?
I think he's attempting re-entry, sir.
Okay, so there's two British guys, and the American and the British are like, can you believe it? We've done a joint with the Royal Air Force and NASA, and we've saved the world.
Space battle
with our laser men, and we have a live footage. He's coming around now. We're here to see our buddy James Bond. And then it cuts, and Bond is suspended with a. They found sheets on the shuttle.
One sheet,
and they're banging in space. And it cuts
sort
to
of,
him.
But they're just like limply laying there, and her leg is dangling, and they're just doing the '60s kiss we talked about,
right?
Yeah,
and then we hear this.
007. My God, what's Bond doing?
I think he's attempting re-entry.
And there's your British Benny Hill.
So the one guy, the first guy sounds like he's turned on by like
007.
And then
Well, that's him, the boss, right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh yeah, that's my guy. My guy.
I trained him
he's
well.
He's like, I used to do this until I got behind a desk.
Then the other guy sounds like he hasn't had sex in 40 years. Yeah. And he's like, I don't understand this. And then Q is like, oh yeah.
I've been saving this line for 3 weeks.
Yeah, Q was like, you can destroy all my boats and millions of dollars worth of equipment as long as I get this great line in.
I want this one thing, Bond! And then,
but, like, he doesn't even say it with a wink. It's like it's almost like he says it like a senile old man who just doesn't understand what's going on. Like, hey, I don't see it, but he's coming home. It's like, no.
And then Bond breaks fourth wall, sees the camera, obviously because there's a camera there. And then he's back with his girl, and we're back on the spaceship, and she says this to him. And it's the final line of the movie.
B. Clip B.
Took me around the world one more time.
Oh,
come on. With your penis.
Come on.
Does that mean just spinner? Like,
I don't know if that was a move. No, or I think they were gonna.
James last long. Yeah, an orbit around the Earth is as long as a bang session is with James Bond.
How long is that in a space shuttle?
I don't know. Watch Gravity again.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think that's the perfect quote to go out on. This was a lot of fun.
Hey Josh, we definitely. I was going to try and figure out a way to do an improv game with Take Me Around the World. I think that our audience is going to be excited for next week, and our audience right now is thinking...
Take me around the world one more time.
No, Ben.
No.
I'm trying! I couldn't think of anything!
That works.
I think we just wanted to go on the quote, and you had to ruin it!
Yeah.
Which, damn it. In the credits, Brendan reminded me of this earlier, it said, filmed on location in Brazil, France, Italy, and outer space! Yes. With an exclamation yes. point.
One of the two best credits.
And then the opening space. Credits.
Opening credits edited by John Glenn. Come on. You can't write this.
Guys,
you can't write this stuff.
What if they did shoot it in outer space? It looks pretty real.
That might be good. Definitely. Might be real. We had the technology for laser fights, so fuck.
But we didn't talk about it. This is the last thing, the slow motion, how it's, or the gravity is just everybody acting in slow motion.
Yeah.
And then slowing down the frame rate a little and everybody just being like, I'm running because there's no gravity.
But my
gravity.
Feet can still hit the
ground.
And also,
on the ground.
Somehow there's no differentiation between gravity and oxygen.
No.
They're like,
no.
The gravity's on, helmet's off now. Now I can breathe.
And James and they didn't even wear helmets in the ship.
No,
like,
it was just a leather thing.
Yeah, they were like, don't worry about that. We don't need those fucking helmets.
You can never
fucking
hide.
James Bond.
Oh,
James
a woman?
A woman.
Guys, thanks for being on the show. Brendan, where can the people find you?
Here. I live here. I'm in the back.
We found this guy in the street. If you guys want to find Brendan, go AOL keyword search beard.
Yeah.
You can find him.
Yeah.
Your new album comes out in
February.
Yeah. He's a hell of a punk drummer. And Dad, where can the people find you?
They can find me in the Funhouse Massacre. Available in theaters everywhere. AMC theaters. And the first 10 people to tweet me and say that they bought tickets to this.
Oh, no.
But then, they bought tickets to this, but then they actually went to go see Spectre.
How dare you.
They're going to get a signed poster
of
Spectre, and I'm going to cross Ben's name off just in a big X.
And then write
as long
the plot,
as you're paying for postage.
And then write the plot to Moonraker in under 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
And that also is an editor, director, producer Between the Sheets.
Yeah,
and
check out all month special November episodes from the barbershop.
Brendan helped produce and direct some of that as well. We're a nice teamwork that we put together. It was pretty awesome.
Ben did nothing for
Ben
it.
Ben did absolutely
nobody
nothing.
Asked
we asked,
me
we asked him to help, and he said no.
They never asked me. They don't let me come on Between the Sheets anymore after last time.
Yeah, that was a new nightmare.
Your wife doesn't let you come on Between the Sheets anymore after last time? I think it's what you think.
Yeah, so check out that all month long. We're doing November episodes. Go to our MoSpace, between-the-stashes. Donate if you want to join the cause. If you're a lady, get in the MOVE campaign. Thad is going out. He's going out for November, but also they're going to start shooting Narcos Season 2. So that's big time. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh Macuga.
Ben Begley.
No, I'm going to you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're the finale.
I'm the finale. You're the main cheese.
Ben, you got a huge day this Friday, big time. A movie that you wrote, you produced, you acted in with you and your beautiful wife. It's a big thing, man. Congratulations.
Technically, I didn't produce it, but my wife and I wrote it, Renee Dorian. She's at Renee Dorian. I'm at the Ben Begley, and you can find her movie at Funhouse Mass, because Twitter has a character limit, but also funhousemassacremovie.com. Select theaters this Friday the 13th. First 10 people to tweet at me gets a signed poster. Or if you don't want me to ruin it with my signature, that's perfectly fine. I'll send it to you without it.
Funhouse Massacre, guys. Go check it out. The trailer's amazing. I'm really, really happy for you, man.
Thanks,
congratulations.
Man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
We don't know what we're going to do next week yet. We haven't really talked about it, but... we do. Yeah, Megan Tonches is coming in. We're doing Adventures in Babysitting.
I love that movie.
Yes. Great movie.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So we're bringing her in. If you guys know Megan, she's on YouTube, Megan Tonches. We're going to be talking the classic Adventures in Babysitting. Until then, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.